It's time for the best 60 minutes of your life. This is the Homer Hour, broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studio at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee. Alongside ESPN's John Anderson, here's Emmy Award winner Homer.
The best 60 minutes of your day, the John Anderson Homer Hour, the professor at Missouri. Good afternoon. We have a different opening to the show. Are you ready?
I am prepared. What do we have?
Ben Brust is here to help promote Made 'Em Believe, an event occurring June 26th, honoring the last college team in football or basketball to get up 9, 13 minutes to go. I'll never forget it. Ben Brust. So any questions you have, any memory you have, that's what I have about 2015, because that's what I said in the postgame. And Bo Ryan said, if you knew anything about basketball, you'd know that's too early. Okay.
UWHoops2015.com to celebrate the team in which they did lose the 9-point lead with 13 minutes left. They also had a lead later in the game as well. It just,
oh, by a point or maybe?
Yeah, just, it, but
I'm going to look up.
But still, if you told me that basketball team had a 13-point lead, or excuse me, a 9-point lead with 13 left, they probably still win that 80% of the time based off the way the team was constructed and how good they were and how they didn't make mistakes and give up big runs. Grayson Allen came off the bench and did crazy things that he hadn't done all season.
Yeah, and Coach K brought him off the bench because he had no other choices. Everything else had failed. He was his last resort.
Do you believe the people that think that if Bo Ryan,
yes, I believe that,
walked out with the referees at halftime, it would have been officiated differently?
No. What he needed to do
was get a tee right away?
Was get a tee right when he discovered there. No, Wisconsin never changes the way they play defense. By the way, we should get to John Anderson here.
Of course.
Nah, I'm not even going to finish the answer. I want John Anderson's input on what he remembers and thoughts he has, because it may never happen again.
What do you mean by it?
Wisconsin in a national championship game for the NCAA Division I basketball title. Now, I can say that because I'm old. It may happen for you.
It's funny you say that because I have a follow-up after John goes.
Were you there for the 41 game, Homer?
I started in 1906 doing Wisconsin basketball. So I used to be responsible to not only call play-by-play, but take the ball out of the peach basket. That is when play-by-play was tough. Thanks for asking.
Yeah, there you go. That was when I was there. I was so sad, man, because I remember the semifinal win, and we pumped the jump-around music. We just violated all sort of, you know, commercial music laws. I don't know what it cost us, and the people were crazy fired up. And to this day, I will, like, when Grayson Allen joined the Bucks, just couldn't root for him. Like, it's just not happening with there. It was helpless to sit and watch, because I'm like everybody else. Like, up now, you're like, okay, that's pretty comfortable. And they seem to have covered about anything that Duke had come up with. And then even Coach K had said, like, it's a lineup we'd never used before, which maybe, you know, I don't know if it's entirely true, but it wasn't one of their standard rotations. But it was just sitting there watching the air slow leak out of a balloon. And then late when they just would make shots, you know, they made some, you're just like, okay, here, we just need to stop. We just need to stop. And they'd make them.
You
make
sound like the Packers defense, John.
It was terrible. Yeah, exactly. You know, and it just, And towards the end, those last 10 minutes, not everybody on the Badgers played as well as they're used to playing, right? As much as we talk about Duke, they did not play offensively as as well as they usually had, which might, I get there's some defensive things that were, that Duke saw, but I don't think Wisconsin played great offensively either the last 10 minutes of that game.
So my question to both of you, because it's based off my lifetime, not yours, Homer, based off my lifetime, yeah. I've committed to get a Bucky tattoo on one of my butt cheeks if either football or basketball win a national championship, in my lifetime.
Yeah.
Wow.
What do you think, guys?
Weak. Should be on your. I'll get mine on my forehead if Marquette wins a national title. On my forehead. MU, baby. You should do the same.
If it happens when I'm your age, sure. Sure. I can't have a W on my
Why
forehead.
Why not?
Because my daughter's going to be. What's wrong with you, Dad?
No, they won't.
It's with the motion W, Dad.
What do you mean, no, they won't? I only have one right now. How do you know there's they?
I don't. Well, first of all, you have to understand kids. And the professor can tell you, they're going to disagree with whatever you do. They're going to make fun of you, whatever you do. So don't think that, because you've just given them something that you can be proud of. Yes, on your forehead.
I have a question about that.
What do you think, John? Is that going too far?
No.
Not just a little, but a lot too far.
Because you brought up the whole making fun of the dad thing. I always used to like make fun of my dad's mannerisms. And then you reach an age in which you start doing those things that your dad did, and then you don't make fun of him anymore. Did you like? Have you reached that point in your parenthood where they stop making fun of you?
No. It gets worse as you get older.
Oh no.
Well, it's fine. Doesn't faze me in the slightest. Like I am that bothered by how my kids treat me? I'll defer to the professor. Professor, should I be worried about how my kids treat me?
No, but in my case, my kids obviously realize I'm a barometer of what's hip in America, so they know to keep pace.
Yeah. I'm not in that club, so nicely done. Well done. How long have you been that such barometer, just out of curiosity?
I don't know. I've used it a lot, I don't play anything, I think, musically that was produced in this century.
Oh, all right.
And so, but the other day I got in the car with my son.
How old?
He is 23. Right. And he was playing some old school. He had some Harold Melvin, the Blue Notes on. I'm like, dude, you're my hero. Where he goes, Dad, I've just been listening to you. You're right. Some of this is old school R&B is like where it's at. I'm like, there you go.
Wow. See, we're not.
Sometimes it takes a while to come around, but if you give them the right stuff, you know,
got to get there on their own, right?
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Now let's get to this event you're having because I think everybody should go to it just as a thank you. There needs to be an appreciation of how historic this was. Would have liked the national title, but like, what's happened since?
Yeah, the biggest thing that I'm excited about is ticket sales for this event are doing really well. I just want to sell out. Because
it should be.
I, for the exact reason.
Yes.
The only reason why I'm a part of it is because I have the relationships, and through this company, we're able to put on a great event for them. And the idea of getting Bo Ryan, who's in the Naismith Hall of Fame, with the National Player of the Year of 2015, who showed up, and his sophomore year, Frank Kaminsky.
I just want to let you know that both of those mean diddly. They mean nothing. They mean nothing.
I mean, they mean something.
Nothing.
I'll go to the professor. Does it mean nothing?
They meant, you know, there's only one reason either of them means anything. Because you played in the national championship game. You beat a Kentucky team who was unbeaten.
Stop
if
saying
Bo
you,
Ryan
them.
Is not in any Hall of Fame, doesn't matter. If Frank Kaminsky wasn't the National Player of the Year, doesn't matter. What matters is that.
And that's why we're doing this,
yes,
Homer.
Yes, that's why you should.
But I was trying to give them a little pop of their credentials, you know. You should see them for what they did. The reason why I think this is going to be special is I feel like everyone I've talked to about the Final Four teams, and specifically this 2015 team, because they grew even closer after 1 year of doing it and then progressed on even further, had a better year, and went to the national championship game. People loved the team and the players. Right? So the idea.
Yeah, because they won.
Yeah, more than that, though, Homer.
No.
If you ask people about
Professor,
the team,
set this guy straight.
No, they were loved for personalities as well,
Frank,
while doing it.
What?
While winning They had personality. And that is rare in college athletics to have a team full of personalities. You have had to have done a million interviews with college athletes. College athletes are boring. They're boring. They give you the canned answers. They don't want to get in trouble from the coach. There was personality
on
this team.
The only reason anybody knows they had a personality
is because they won.
Because they won.
Yes. But they won and they showed personality. A lot of times people win and they don't show a lot of personality.
They are the new. This the professor will like. They are. You are, though you weren't on the team. They are the new 1982 Milwaukee Brewers.
Hmm.
Exactly the same.
Professor?
Exactly the same. You honor them, but part of the honor is a disappointment because there was a reasonable belief at some point of thinking, oh my God. And I remember thinking it. They're going to be national champs. They're going to be national champs.
Across everyone's mind?
Yes. Other than Bo. Professor, as the national adjudicator of whatever you said you were.
Barometer.
Barometer of whatever. Take it away.
Did you think
at some point in that game they were going to win?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I actually thought that as soon as they beat Kentucky. I thought, well, they're better than Duke. They'll beat them. And so that was, you know, that was a case that I thought they would do that. I think the other question depends on where you are age-wise. That Brewer team in 82, right? I was 17, and when Bamberger came and was he 78-ish, and they turned and became this team that was not just this also run between behind the Yankees and the Red Sox. And that was before they were, you know, outspending everybody. Like, I can remember when the Brewers spent in free agency and they got Larry Heisel, and that was a big deal because it's changed so much. But those guys, to me, whether they won the World Series or not, will always be my baseball heroes. I don't care who comes along and wins. If the Brewers win this year, Cheerio, or even if they had won last year, none of those guys, to me, will ever be taller, greater, or the Giants that Cecil Cooper was, or Gorman Thomas, or Yount, or Gantner.
But so all you want, John, is a Brewers championship, World Series. That's what you want.
That's what I would like. But those guys would not be, I would not hold them in the same regard as the other fellas, because I'm 16
what?
And not 15.
Even if a group won the World Series?
Would not resonate with me at 60 like it did when you were growing up at 15, 16, and 17. Nope.
All right.
No.
But I think to John's point, there are plenty of people that view this Wisconsin Badger group as that to them because of the personality that they showed while winning, Homer.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Well, if they were the age that John Anderson was, I guess I don't.
Got a lot of fun stuff planned, by the way. I did try and figure out.
And the other part is, unlike the Brewers, okay, this season started. This season started with the belief that they could win a national championship. And that has never happened. Never happened before. It has never happened since.
When you say Brewers to win a national championship.
No. I'm saying this Wisconsin team.
Oh, got it.
Right.
Yes.
Granted, there was a devastation by the belief that Ben Brust would not be on the team anymore. But aside from that devastation, that year started, and it never had started before and never since. This team can win the national championship. And no one argued the point.
Will we see a day in my lifetime where I have those feelings of getting a tattoo?
Yes, I think so. Just
won't be on my forehead.
I'm disappointed by that. Mine will be on my forehead if Marquette wins.
You just said it may never happen again 3 minutes ago.
I know.
In his lifetime, John.
In my lifetime. I'm 70.
Okay, and
I could be gone tomorrow. He's like 32 or whatever. How old are you?
33.
Come on, that's an extra 38 years because we're playing time. There was no way when Dick Bennett took that team, everybody was thinking, hey, a dream year. Nobody thought, but in a few years, Wisconsin will be the favorite or one of the favorites when the season starts to win a national championship. No way, never.
That's why we're celebrating.
That's right. Where does this fit in? Because I know it irks Ben. Because they didn't win. I'm still a Mike Kelly, Andy Kowski 2000 Final Four team over these two.
Yeah, you need help.
I like those guys better because they really broke the seal.
You know, so you, what? As you get older,
they
you become more nostalgic
the Final
by
Four
the day.
Game and had no chance.
Who cares? If you only got, who cares if you win 53-41 or 93-82?
I agree, but I said in this game against Duke.
Yeah, they should have won.
No, you thought. You never once thought
yes.
that team in 2000 would get to or would win the game against Michigan State at no point in that game other than the national anthem.
And even then, it was iffy.
No.
By the Bulls' early light, I was out.
No, and maybe this is you for the Brewers, but this one hurts. This one hurts. 2000 didn't hurt. Marquette 2003 didn't hurt. It was 100-5 at halftime against Kansas. It was that. It was 48-19. But and I'm thinking. I mean, you think of other. I don't know with the Packers wherever where it never really happened. Whenever they got that close, they won.
Let me guess. The 1996 team is your favorite, John, and no other Packer team will be able to surpass them.
Well. Right now they're there, but again, like pick somebody on those teams in 96 and they're great. And my favorite Packer is still going to be Willie Buchanan and they won nothing.
Yeah.
Right. Like there's something about that, the age that you are, that at least that's just me, the impact they had and the way it resonates with me. And maybe that's because I've been in the business so long now, 37 years that you kind of find a way to divorce yourself from results and from wow. those people. Even
oh,
like
you're far from divorced.
Yeah, you are. Yeah,
you're on your eighth marriage
no, but
right now.
I'm fascinated by you because I've never cared about anything but winning. Nothing else matters. Nothing.
Yeah, but okay, but think about it. That so the Packers won in 1967. I was two, and they won nothing until I was in my 30s. Yeah. So you're saying I just shouldn't like anybody?
You can like people, but you like championships more than people.
I'll tell you how I viewed it. When Bart Starr was coaching, I wanted him to lose every game. This guy can't coach. I don't care if he's Jesus. He can't coach. If he starts winning, they're going to give him an extension. And he did good. He lost. And I'm telling you, it was hard to lose that last game that last year because they had one of the greatest offenses in the history of the NFL in Bart Starr's last year. Tell them everybody they had. James Lofton, just the beginning.
I will say this. Nobody will have that record in the last 8 years again in the NFL. Okay. That will not happen. Well, I don't know. Jeff Fisher might have. But, yeah, right. Lofton, Jefferson, Kaufman, they were great.
Lynn Dickey.
Lynn was healthy, and when he was, he was good. Eddie Lee Ivory.
Hey, Bart, call a timeout so you can get the ball back in the game against the Bears. No, I believe in my defensive coordinator. He's given up 500 points. They
who
hold
was that,
the ball.
Bob Stoker?
What?
Who was
no,
that
John
then?
Meyer. He had been previously before that at Notre Dame. And so, who was it? Bob Thomas kicks the field goal. Packers never have a chance to score.
This
eight
is older than
record.
The Old Testament.
No, you, I don't, I'm going to have to look up. I'm not sure that the Packer teams have ever averaged more points per game since that season. Yeah, you're right. It's too old. All right. Sell some tickets. Let's go.
UWHoops2015.com. Celebrate the 2015 team. Got a lot of fun stuff planned. Getting to know the outside of the memories just on the court. Getting to know them even better. I'm going to dig so much out of each and every single one of them. Oh, yeah.
I just want to know how much they cried and how much they deal with realizing that in modern sports, no Wisconsin team has ever come anywhere.
Well, you just wrote
Barry
you just
Alvarez,
wrote my last question
Barry
to the
Alvarez,
show. We're going to send
Alvarez,
them out. Of, we're going to send
Barry
them out in
Alvarez
tears.
Could dream of being as close as they were to a national title.
It was good, but he wasn't as great as this
they
team.
Did nothing even close.
UWHoops2015.com. I'll see you Thursday, June 26th. Get your tickets to celebrate and cry. Like they did.
Yeah. So close.
You're the best.
No, that team was the best. People need to pack the place and thank them because they remember it today. You remember it today? You remember it today, John Andrew, Professor? Do you still remember it today? Where you were when you thought they could win the national championship in that game And then at the end when you thought...
I was there. I was in the arena, and then I was on TV right after they had lost.
See?
So, yeah, I remember right where I was.
John was crying.
Did you cry on TV?
I did not.
Okay. If it had been the Brewers, would you have...
My teams anymore.
If it had been the Brewers that had been that close, would you have cried on TV? I think you
not
might.
Not anymore, no. I would curse, but I would not cry.
All right.
More angry,
tell them where
sad.
They can get all... Where do they...
UWHoops2015.com for all of your information.
June 26th, 7 to 9. There's no way it's only going to be 2 hours. The Orpheum in Madison. June 26th. Thanks, Ben. And yes, this should be our Discount Liquor Twitter poll question. If Ben Brust had been on that team, would they have won the national championship? Tell him, Professor. Would Wisconsin have won the national championship if Ben Brust had been on that team?
No, they needed defense.
What do you think? I'm
going to
say no? Yeah. Listen, Brust would have averaged 23 points in a real offensive university instead of 9 or whatever it was.
There's truth to that. Jason Wilde, next.
This is the Homer Hour on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app. It's time for Jason Wilde on the Homer Hour on 94.5 ESPN.
The time when I am the greatest listener on the planet Earth, the Professor John Anderson with Jason Wilde. Take it away, 7-2.5.
Well, first, Jason, my apologies for last week and sending the wrong article to you about Jair Alexander and just saying that it's finally done. You know, that I was just so thoughtless as to read Domofsky before you I won't make the mistake again.
Well, you're going to make that mistake today because Rob already posted a story about the GM and the head coach's contract situations, and I'm still writing mine because – well, we all got together with Ed Policy last Friday and ate pizza, and some people even had a beer or two. I really kind of wanted to put my finger up in the air and judge the way the wind was blowing before I decided how strongly to write that story about both those guys having 2 years left on their contracts and Ed Policy having some decisions to make. So apology not accepted. Because it wasn't necessary.
So where is the wind blowing? What is your finger in the air telling you after Policy met? He takes over in 6 weeks, but he met with you guys that are sort of the regulars in that that sewing circle of Packer writers. what did we learn?
I prefer coffee clutched, but I'll take sewing circle. That's
I believe that announcement is hugely significant. If I was LaFleur or Goody, I'd be worried.
Of course you would be. I thought this was the segment where you're the world's greatest listener.
That's what I thought was happening, too.
That starts now.
That's what I thought, yeah. So I all kidding aside, like, you know, it was Domofsky, Matt Scheinman from The Athletic, a few people from the Press Gazette and the Journal Sentinel, Gannett, Wisconsin, me, the two Packers.com guys. We love Wes and we love Spoff, but you know they're not going to be writing on Packers.com about the contract situations of the president, of the GM and the head coach and what the president had to say. So I didn't want to make this sound like, you know, DEFCON 1, like these guys were some sort of towering inferno of a hot seat. But, and the way I chose to frame it, because I did want to see, you know, I thought Rob took a very measured approach, which I would expect from him. He's not really a guy that wants to chase clicks. He hits it down the middle, both in his golf game and with how he writes. And I like to think I try to do the same thing. But I was struggling with, you know, how significant is this? And Homer's interjection there is instructive because I do think you can look at it from that perspective of, hey, win or there could be some bloodletting here. Now, look, do I think the Packers are going to regress, which was the word du jour a couple weeks ago? Not significantly, no, I don't. I really don't. They may not win as many games as they won last year, but I don't think they're going to be a worse team than they were, if that makes sense. They play a much harder schedule. They don't get to play the AFC South, which is basically like playing the MAC. So So I don't know how the season is going to play out, but you know, somebody asked me, well, what would it take for those guys to be in trouble? I mean, it would have to be maybe not a disaster, but certainly, you know, a sub 500, miss the playoffs, and lead the new president to start wondering about the direction of the organization. I don't see that happening. But the reason why this is significant, and I thought Rob did a really good job the way he wrote it. You know, I'm taking the approach of we've spent all this time during the offseason. I outlined 12 players that are facing pivotal seasons for one reason or another. But let's be honest, the GM and the head coach are facing a pivotal season too. Because the new incoming president and CEO said he doesn't believe in lame duck seasons like Mike McCarthy went through in Dallas last year. But while he said he doesn't believe in that, he would also said, I would never say never and say I wouldn't do that ever. So what exactly are we going to be talking about come January and where the job security is for the GM and the head coach? That is a meaningful conversation and certainly fair game to discuss. And I think the biggest reason in my mind for that is that the last outgoing president who was turning over the reins, Bob Harlan handing off to Mark Murphy, Bob Harlan made sure that both Ted Thompson and Mike McCarthy signed contract extensions before Murphy took over. So it basically solidified their place that if for some reason the new president didn't get along with them or didn't like him or whatever it might have been, they would have cost the team a pretty penny to move on from each
of them.
How
many years did they have, just to interrupt again?
I believe they had 3 years. I believe he signed them to four-year extensions literally right before he handed over the reins. That's one of the facts I'm fact-checking as I write. But my point is that that did not happen in this case. Their contracts, as Ed confirmed to us, have multiple years left. They're not going into the last year of their deal. All three of us had other conversations. So I can tell you they've got this year and 2026 left on their contracts. And so they did not extend them to give them that kind of wiggle room with the new boss. And I don't. Ed Policy does not strike me as the guy who's going to come and say, I got to have my people. These guys don't know what they're doing. I mean, he talks about how much he loves these guys and trusts them and how exceptional they are. My point is simply, you go 7-10, you're probably not going to be using the word exceptional anymore, and then you got some decisions to make. And that is what I'm trying to capture as we talk about this and as I write about this.
So, because McCarthy had won a Super Bowl by that time, right? So that gives him
He had not. In 2007, they had been to the NFC Championship game under Ted and Mike, and Murphy had been named in December as the successor, but he had not yet been given the job. And so before that, and look, he certainly, you know, Mike and Ted certainly gave Bob Harlan ample ability to do that because they made it to the NFC Championship game, right? Like, the other part of this, if we're being honest, is, you know, this team last year didn't move further in the playoffs than they had in 2023. If they had had the finish to 2024 that they had to 2023 with the franchise next great quarterback being on an incredible heater, with them winning their last three regular season games, then going to Dallas and kicking the crap out of McCarthy's team, and then having the 49ers on the ropes through three quarters of the NFC divisional round game, you know, maybe those guys would have gotten extensions and this would be a moot point. But instead, they lost their last three. They looked like garbanzo in that playoff game against the eventual Super Bowl champs. And as a result, you know, that's why we're having this conversation now. I don't want Packers fans to look at this as, oh, here goes the mainstream media stirring the pot when they don't need to. I'm not trying to be an alarmist here.
I will
that's
do that.
I was a little, that's a great role for you, much like listening is. So I don't want to be that guy, but at the same time, I do think this is a conversation that merits being had.
Yeah, I mean, he is, it's hard to read tone sometimes when you write in black and white, when you look like that. But I do think it is telling to some degree that those guys have expectations on their performance every bit as much as everybody else that's actually on the field. So I do think it's a thing. Size of the thing, as you are trying to kind of formulate or write correctly, I applaud. But yeah, it's something, because he didn't shy away from that. He didn't just say it was, you know, it was coming. So
And again, like I think it's important to balance both the things that he said, that as I was sitting there drinking my bottled water, jumped out at me. On the one hand, as he talked about these three people, because you got to include Russ Ball in the equation too, right? Because they certainly matter. He used, and again, I want to quote him accurately here. You've got three exceptional people doing an exceptional job right now and working well together. I feel very good about all three of those individuals. I love them. I trust them. I respect them. I have terrific relationships, both working and personal, with them. Okay? So if that, on the one hand, sounds like, well, these guys aren't going anywhere. Now here's the other part of it, because he made it very clear that what matters is, you know, what it doesn't matter to him what the structure is. He's good with the structure, but he is going to hold them to account. I'm generally opposed. I never say never, but I'm generally opposed to a coach or GM going into the last year of their contract. That creates a lot of issues. I think normally you have a pretty good idea of where that relationship is going when you have 2 years left. Not always, but normally. So I think, generally speaking, I would avoid lame duck status. It's oftentimes difficult on everybody involved, but there are certain situations that probably call for it, so I would not say never.
Translate, so please.
I think these guys are good at their jobs. I don't think this is going to be an issue, but I'm going to be prepared in case it is. And I'm not afraid to say, hey, you know, you guys went 7-10. We didn't make the playoffs. I still think you guys are the guys. Maybe there's a half measure to be had after the season where you add another year onto their contracts each, so they're not in a lame duck year. But
so why if they don't go you do that now?
Because they've got 2 years left, and you don't, in the NFL, you don't do things before you have to do them. And
if you believe in him in the slightest way, what you're doing is creating. Tell me if I'm wrong here to make sure that you're creating all this pressure. It's appropriate to say we don't know for sure if they're going to be back after next year. He's created that. That's a fact.
No,
right?
He's left his options undeniably open after this.
I can tell you how I feel as the coach or GM. This is crap. If we think we've done a good job, give us one more year now, then we don't have to worry about, it's not just the lame duck year, it's the year before the lame duck year, when everybody talks about the lame duck year coming up.
Yeah, in the words of the, I believe it was Billie Jean King who said it first.
Yes.
And you being a tennis guy. Pressure is a privilege.
Yeah, respect and acting as if you believe in what you've just said.
Yeah, well, hey, guess what? Goody, you don't get to have we're going to make Goody feel better about his status, and Matt LaFleur make him feel better.
No, have they done well enough to justify?
But Rasheed Walker, you started 34 games at left tackle, but we're still maybe going to give your job away.
All right, I'll ask both of you this. Have they done well enough for the new president to give him a 1 year? What?
Zach Tom, you're not listening.
I am listening totally.
Zach Tom, you're arguably the third best right tackle in the entire NFL, but we're going to have our offensive coordinator and offensive line coach say that you're competing for your job.
Yeah, and we know that's a lie.
What's
he's going to get
for
a long
goose
term
is good. What's good for the goose is good for the gander there, old man.
Has he not created a story for the entire season by what he's done?
I think we probably, I mean, it was only because we were smart enough to ask about it.
But I mean, it's a legitimate, I don't care the people that think stuff's made up. It's legitimate. The year before.
No, no one gets a contract extension with 2 years left on their existing deal. You don't have to do it now. And if they go in the toilet, you want to have the flexibility to say, you know what, I'm in charge now, and you guys were good, but I want to win a Super Bowl here, which the only time they did it under my predecessor was with the guys that had been hired before he took over.
All right, so how bad does the record have to be for either or both of them to lose their job?
That is a question that the two of you can debate because it's already 5:40. You got 2 segments left of this program.
All right, all right, all right. The professor,
great job
listening
today.
Finish, however, you. I'm sorry. This is the biggest story of the offseason, and it's not even close. He's created a story for the entire upcoming season because it's legitimate for me and even the professor, if he chooses to say it. There's a point in which they could lose their job. If this year is bad enough, or that it can be legitimately presented as a situation.
This is the alarmist narrative I was trying to avoid.
It's not alarmist. It's accurate.
It's a little alarmist.
Oh, fine. It's a little alarmist. He's created the ability for that alarmist. All right,
I think he's opened the door. He's opened the door for questions, but I don't think it's an alarmist thing because even if they sign him for an extension and they went in 6-10, they'd fire him anyway. So I don't know that 1 year.
You're right about that.
You think they would?
Yeah.
I mean, if they backslid in a significant way, they would basically just have a better golden parachute.
Too nice. I wouldn't. But all right.
That's the first time I've ever heard you say that you're too nice.
I guess I don't care what record they get this year. They've earned a right for another year.
But, I agree with you on that. And what a great place to end where you and I agree.
Yeah. Thanks, Jason.
All right, guys, take care. Be good.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I interrupted all the time because I think this is a huge story and will be a huge story. And anybody who wants to blame it on the media can do so. But I don't care. Because if I was the coach or GM, that's how I would feel. Professor, if you were the coach or GM, how would you feel after this announcement by the new president?
My guess is that none of that comes as a surprise to them.
Oh, all right.
I think if your policy, you don't go talking about that out loud unless you've had talks with them about that. And with the change in the leadership from Mark Murphy, that is a question that their people, their representative or whomever, would certainly ask of the new guy. So I don't think anything that came out is going to be news to them. And I do think you've got 2 years. I'm with Jason in that. It doesn't have to be a reason to make the decision that you don't have to do.
But
anything.
He just said he doesn't like doing that. Let have a coach
he said,
go through.
Well, last year you're now talking 2 years. He
no,
says
no.
2 years.
So what do they? As if you're the coach, what do you feel like your record you have to have that could cost you your job?
I don't think literally coaches that are trying to win even think about what.
Oh.
What record makes me lose my job?
What do you think? What do you think would be the record that LaFleur would lose his job?
I think it'd have to be really bad. Like I don't think a 7-12. I don't think 500
embarrassment.
Because you could have but I think you got to have so you'd have to go in to face that guy and have a plan and say here's what we're doing, here's what we're changing because we have
been.
Like, here's
so
why
am
I
overstating the importance of this decision? Do I need to tone it down a little bit?
I think it is a development that is certainly worth interesting and worth looking at, but I don't know that I have to go that this is a 5-alarm fire.
3-alarm?
No,
next.
I don't know that.
Next. I interrupted a few times, sorry. Dr. Aaron Holtebeck and his team make vision care a top priority with the latest technologies at the state-of-the-art Brookfield office. They were great, and he told me about it for over 20 years, but not great enough. Been helping local patients with their eye care needs. Got to do better. So last year, Dr. Naushin Abbas joined the team, so they're even better in more of the issues of your vision. So trust the experts, all of them, from Holtebeck Eye Center in Brookfield near the corner of Calhoun and Capitol. I've told you how devoted they are to the best for whatever your situation. Learn more about their services at holtebeck.com. And 10 years ago, the Badger basketball team, as we talked about with Ben Rust, made a run in March. That was magical. Wisconsin basketball made them believe so close to a national title. That would be my title. Thursday, June 26th, join the stars from the squad as they remember and celebrate the run to Indy. Get your tickets to be part of the intimate night at the Orpheum Theater in Madison. Frank Kaminsky, Sam Decker, Josh Gosser, and a yes, Bo Ryan. UW Hoops 2015, UWHoops2015.com. And tickets on sale at UWHoops20, is there a dash in there? 15.com. Yeah, go there to say thanks. That close to a national title, or made him believe. Either one. And the professor, because we'll have time next. All right, you didn't have enough John Anderson on the John Anderson Homer Hour, so you just take over now. I promise I'll shut up if you have things that you want to talk about. NBA Finals, anything.
NBA Finals is interesting. I'm a little mad at Stephen A. Smith. I don't think that Giannis is an underachiever. And that he made news with the other day. I like that the Brewers have got themselves. I mean, they're 5.5 back of the Cubs, but they look like they've righted the ship. They're a winning ball club, even though every 5 days they don't score a run. I do still think it's okay that I like the Brewers team and always will, that just because they didn't win a World Series, and that I will, if the Brewers win one in my lifetime, those guys still won't be as special to me.
That should be a whole show. I can't believe you. I can't believe that.
Why?
Because there's only one thing that matters: winning a title. That's forever. Second place is not forever.
Really, that's an old person point of view.
I believed it when I was 8. That's why you play.
So the guys that you liked at 8,
yes,
were
the New York Yankees, because they always won. The Green Bay Packers, because they always won. And for some reason, I like Wilt Chamberlain, because I should have liked the Celtics.
Right. What do you think of Rusty Lish? Did he win anything with Notre Dame?
No, I think nothing of him. Nothing.
So Joe Montana is your guy, yes, because he won a championship.
He won everywhere.
Yeah, he did win everywhere.
Everywhere.
Yeah, I just think that
doesn't
those
mean
guys
I don't like the other people, but
understood.
You know.
But by your, I should pick a Packer corner. What am I thinking of? Newsom.
Willie Buchanan was a great choice.
Right, but he didn't win anything. I guess I should like the other corners better now. They should supplant my childhood guys.
You could like that player better, but as far as the team, it'd be like Willie. I've met Willie. You know, it's sad that you were on bad teams because nobody remembers and knows how great you were.
Mm-hmm.
He might have been as good a cornerback as ever played for the Green Bay Packers.
James Lofton is better than any wide receiver the Packers had that was on the championship team.
Yes, and it's sad because he picked the wrong time to be there with the wrong coach and GM. I feel bad for him.
So you just get cast aside now,
yes,
and
totally.
Then I'm going to like some other team.
Yes. He said, I agree with you totally. But this.
What is funny, though, is I am in the middle of putting together a list. That we're voting for the outstanding track and field athlete of the year now.
All right.
And we have some people.
Will it be somebody who won a race, or will you pick somebody who finished second?
No, the point is, right, so the point is when I go through there, there's a guy that has set the collegiate record, but he got beat both indoor and outdoor of the championship, and I'm like, no, I totally value the championship. So in some ways, I'm talking out of both sides of my mouth.
Yes.
I don't care how fast you won,
Ron.
I just want to know if you won.
Yep.
So
and
in that regard, I value it. But in terms of those guys, they won't replace it.
I got to mention American Place Casino, because I'm doing the show from there tomorrow. You're welcome to come.
Nice.
I'll pay your plane fare to get you to American Place Casino tomorrow. Both ways. You coming?
I don't know that I can make it.
All right. Located in Lake County, Illinois, but just a half hour south of Franklin. Half hour south of Franklin. Half hour south of Franklin. I don't say that enough. Half hour south of Franklin. Great promos. They get slot machines, table games, sports book. You could win a 2025 Mustang Dark Horse Premium. Go to AmericanPlace.com. And again, doing the show from there tomorrow. John Anderson might be there. 7.5. That's how he signs his autograph.
Number one, but who cares what that number is?
I wouldn't I wouldn't count. I wouldn't
never
count
won anything.
Yeah, you're below Dwight Stones. deal with it.
Doesn't matter.
But it's still impressive. Yes.
Never won anything.
You had to win something. I'm going to look it up. Golf next.